Bob Calloway was as popular as any entertainer that I can remember. He had an outstanding band. He was widely respected, and certainly the musicianship of his band was highly respected.
He was a band leader with the grace and style of a basketball star, a singing band leader with a 4-octave range and a sermon in Heidi Ho. An extraordinary entertainer, songwriter, Broadway and movie star, and a dancer too, in front of one of the top big bands in jazz history. I'm Nancy Wilson, and this is Jazz Profiles. On this program, the life and music of that Minnie the Moocher man, Cab Calloway. Cab Calloway's career had many facets, but jazz fans remember him best as leader of one of the great swing bands, with musicians like Dizzy Gillespie, Chew Berry, Milt Hinton, and Cozy Cole. Writer Albert Murray.
Well, no band leader took Cab Calloway's band lightly, whether it was Chick Webb or Earl Hines or Duke Ellington or Count Basie. You didn't relax if you're playing against Cab, because he had great drummers, great soloists, great trumpet section. It was a very fine band.
Calloway Orchestra, from a 1940 radio broadcast with Limehouse Blues. Composer and historian Gunther Schuller.
It's another interesting aspect of the whole Calloway band phenomenon that if one listens carefully, one will hear very often behind his singing some most interesting things going on musically, little background improvisations which... If one listens only to the foreground of his singing, one is likely to miss. Evening is a beautiful, beautiful song. And it is, again, one of those songs where one can hear the extraordinary beauty of Calloway's voice, but also the high quality of this arrangement, particularly in terms of bringing out the colors, the timbres, the different sonorities of the band. And again, I offer it as an example of the high quality of music making, music creating that Calloway could at times offer.
Evening, every night you come and you find me. Must you always come and remind me that my girl is gone? Don't you see I'm deep in your power? Every minute seems like an hour since my girl is gone.
It may have been Cab's great bands and top soloist that engaged jazz fans, but it was his dynamic personal style that quickly made him a star at the Cotton Club and a million-selling recording artist soon after. His radio and movie big broadcast created fans coast to coast. He was the Prince of Swing, his hair flying wildly as he jumped and jived, dressed in a white tuxedo. By the 40s, hoy-hoying, wearing a yellow zoot suit, Cab was the embodiment of hipness, a pop phenomenon. Albert Murray.
He was the personification of the hip cat, and he would exaggerate it. He was an entertainer, so he would exaggerate it. When they were wearing zoot suits, he had the most fantastic of all zoot suits. It was so effective that people would imitate his exaggerations. And he could get up and burlesque something, and his burlesquing of it would become a new way of doing it. The long chain which he wore with his zoot suit, the exaggerated way he would greet somebody by shaking hands, by slapping palms, and going into a whole act, that became, you know, standard stuff. People still do variations on that handshake, which some youngsters think came in with civil rights or protest or something like that. It's an exaggerated Harlem Cab Calloway-type handshake.
And now with a hidey-high and a holdy-ho, Cab Calloway and his Harlemaniacs present a flaming bit of heated Harlem harmony.
It was down in Chinatown, all the cokies laid around. Some were high and some were mighty low, counting millions on the floor, when a knock came on the door, and there stood old Smokey Joe. He was sweating cold and pale, he was looking for his frail. He was broke and all his junk ran out. As he stood and looked around, nobody made a sound. And then you'd hear old Cokie shout, "Tell me, where is Minnie?
Where is Minnie?
I want Minnie.
You want Minnie.
Has she been here? Kicking the gong around."
Kicking the Gong Around, from the soundtrack to Cab Calloway's first feature film, The Big Broadcast of 1932. Calloway's tongue-in-cheek lyrics, written by such masters as Harold Arlen and Buddy DeSilva, frequently suggested a sinister world of drug-filled Harlem streets, and those novelty numbers were his biggest sellers. But with his unique delivery, Cab had an extraordinary way with a ballad, too. Gunther Schuller.
It was a most remarkable voice. I think the only other voice in the history of jazz that I can think of, that I know about, that equals that in many respects is Sarah Vaughan's. The elasticity, the range of that voice was simply extraordinary. I mean, when he was seriously singing, as he did in some of his recordings, where he didn't do all the hollering and hidey-hoing, you know, you hear, what's that that piece by Alec Wilder, that I'll Be Around? That is such beautiful singing, the vibrato and the sensitivity of that singing and the quality of the voice is simply extraordinary.
I'll be around, no matter how you treat me now. I'll be around from now on.
Honey, you can never lose me.
Your latest love can never last, and when it's past, I'll be around when he's gone.
I'll be around, my dear.
Cab Calloway and his 1942 recording of I'll Be Around. I'm Nancy Wilson, and you're listening to NPR's Jazz Profiles. The Baltimore-born Cab Calloway might have ended up a lawyer like his father, which was what his family wanted. Or he could have signed the player's contract offered him by the Harlem Globetrotters. But even at law school in Chicago, he was moonlighting as a nightclub performer. His older sister Blanche, a singer herself, tried to discourage him from a show business career, but finally got him his first stage role on the road with the Plantation Days Review in 1925. Blanche Calloway, singing with Louis Armstrong in 1925. Cab, still moonlighting, began singing at Chicago's Southside Sunset Cafe, where Armstrong was trumpet soloist and Earl Hines pianist with Carol Dickerson's orchestra. From Armstrong, Cab learned to scat, giving the jazz vocalist the musical freedom to join the band as an instrument. Armstrong's friendly influence helped to mold Cab's trademark singing style. And it was Cab's way of singing that put him in front of a band, the Alabamians, who were gigging their way east in the fall of 1929. Cab abandoned the law to join them, but what toddled in Toledo sounded Mickey Mouse at the Savoy Ballroom in New York City. The Alabamians were pitted against another Midwest group, the Missourians. In a battle of the bands, they lost big in spite of their popular conductor. Cab found work in the hit review, Hot Chocolates, until the Savoy management came up with a solid solution. Let Cab lead the Missourians. Milt Hinton played bass with Cab Calloway for 16 years.
They were looking for somebody to get in front of that band. So they saw this good-looking kid, said, well, let's put this kid in front of the band. And they put him in. It was a great success. So they told the band, said, now you guys, if you want this job, Cab Calloway is the leader.
Gunther Schuller.
When Cab came into the situation, the band changed rather quickly. Cab immediately became a rather successful band leader and singer and a hit. And if one didn't know that the Missourians and Cab Calloway's orchestra were in fact more or less the same orchestra, one would never guess that from the recordings. They're so totally different.
These days, one of the earliest recordings made by Cab Calloway with the Missourians. By 1930, when that side was recorded, Harlem's Cotton Club was the most fashionable night spot in New York City. Its lavish stage shows, starring Duke Ellington and other top talent, had become the rage of sophisticated white Manhattanites. Gangster club owner Oney Madden used gangster muscle, bought out Cab's contract at a small downtown speakeasy, and hijacked him into replacing Ellington, who was on his way to Hollywood. Calloway was only 22, and the Cotton Club was a proposition he couldn't refuse. Walter Foots Thomas, was a member of the Missourians at the time.
That's when we got our break, because we went to the Cotton Club and we had all that airtime. And in them days, the airtime was it. We was on CBS, and Cab had got so big, you know. He was getting to be the star of the band. So he called us all in a meeting. He said, well, I'm going to either take over the band, or I'm going to fire all of y'all and get me another band.
Folks, I'm going down to St. James Infirmary to see my baby there. She steps out on a long white table. She's so sweet, so cold, so fair. Let her go, let her go. God bless her. Wherever she may be, she will search this world well over, but she'll never find another sweet man like me. Now when I die, bury me in my straight leg breeches, put on a box back coat and a Stetson hat, put a $20 gold piece on my watch day so you can let all the boys know I died standing fast. Folks, now that you have heard my story, say, boy, hand me over another shot of that booze. If anyone should ask you, tell them I got those St. James in a Perry blues.
Cab covered a lot of popular tunes on his nightly broadcast, but he needed a theme song. All the big bands in the swing era had one, and their radio shows usually started with it. In 1931, Cab and his manager, Irving Mills, put together the song forever associated with the Calloway persona. Loosely based on St. James Infirmary, it wailed and scattered the tale of a Harlem frail and her male conquest. Cab asked his tenor saxophonist, Foots Thomas, to come up with the arrangement.
So we got to playing my left thing on Men in the Moose, and we was playing it up-tempo. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Da 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 da, da da. We did that a couple of times and still didn't hit. He said, you know, a minor sounds better slow than it does fast. And as soon as we slowed it up, we all knew we had it. When we said da 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 da, just put a new showing on the whole thing.
Now here's a story about Minnie the Moocher. She was a red-hot hoochie-coocher. She was the roughest, toughest rail, but Minnie had a heart as big as a whale. Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy, ho!
Howdy, howdy,
ho! Howdy, howdy, ho!
A 1931 recording of Cab Calloway's signature song, Minnie the Moocher. Cab ended up selling over 1 million copies of Minnie and set a record in the 30s for the biggest audience ever for a black band, over 6,000 jivers jumping at the Savoy Ballroom. In addition to the Calloway Band's long runs and the Cotton Club reviews, they would also spend a part of every year touring. Segregation and racism made ordinary life on the road very difficult for black entertainers, no matter how popular. To avoid this discrimination, Cab and the band traveled by train with his own Pullman sleepers, a limo in the baggage car, and a staff of valets. It was an unheard-of luxury. Milt Hinton.
It was as best it possibly could be at that time. We traveled by train, Pullman's cars, and everything is great. Cab had a baggage car, the biggest one I've ever remember seeing. He had a green Lincoln in there, and he had a chauffeur, and the baggage car was right next to our Pullman. So you could sleep in your pajamas, get up and go into the baggage car and open the trunk up, put your fresh clothes on and put the other stuff in there. And when we stepped off the train, we stepped off
good.
Yeah, looking good, really together. And we traveled right across the country like that, all the way to California.
Soundtrack of Cab's 1934 short film, Cab Calloway's Heidi Ho. I'm Nancy Wilson. Just ahead, we'll hear about some of the extraordinary musicians that played in the Calloway Orchestra, including a young Dizzy Gillespie. You're listening to Jazz Profiles, a tribute to one of the great entertainers of jazz, Cab Calloway, from NPR, National Public Radio.
Support for NPR comes in part from Jazz Times, America's jazz magazine, published since 1970. Information at 800-4J-TIMES.
By the late 1930s, Cab Calloway led one of the top big bands in jazz, featuring Chu Berry on tenor saxophone. Other jazz stars that passed through Calloway's band were trumpeters Doc Cheatham, Jonah Jones, and Dizzy Gillespie, saxophonists Eddie Bearfield, Illinois Jacquette, and Ben Webster, bassist Milt Hinton, and drummer Cozy Cole. And Cab shared the spotlight generously with the band. Gunther Schuller.
Another interesting aspect of the development of the Cab Calloway Orchestra is that, contrary to one's expectations, as he became more famous and reached an extraordinary national and even worldwide popularity, it's interesting to note that with Calloway, amazingly, and this is again shows the respect that he had for his musicians and how much he cared about the essence of jazz and a kind of pure jazz being maintained in his orchestra, he went the other way. And more of the recordings of the late 30s turn out to be instrumentals, including some of the earliest compositions by Dizzy Gillespie.
Pluckin' the Vase, a 1939 instrumental that featured three of the biggest talents in the Cab Calloway Orchestra. Tenor virtuoso Chu Berry, whose career was ended by a fatal car accident in 1942. Milt Hinton, one of the first bass players in jazz to be featured as a soloist. And the composer of the tune, trumpeter Dizzy Gillespie. Gillespie, always an individualist, was experimenting with early bop ideas during his 2 years with the Calloway band. Some of the players dug it, but others, including Calloway himself, thought Dizzy was too far out, past the boundaries of swing. Trumpeter Jonah Jones.
He had a two-bar break, and he made this funny card. Something like that. And Cab said, "What is that? What the heck was that?" So nobody said nothing, you know. So then, the next show, he did the same thing. And Cab said, "I don't know what's happening." Said, "I don't know what's happening." "Well, play like you played it before." He said, "Oh, this is new. This is something different. Something different? Uh-uh, I don't want that in my band."
Dizzy Gillespie soloing with the Calloway Band. Cab disagreed with the directions Dizzy was taking and eventually fired him after a now legendary argument in which Calloway alleged that Dizzy threw a spitball on stage during a show. Dizzy vigorously denied it, and Cab was slightly injured in the fight that followed. Though they made up in later years and became friends, the incident speaks of the tight ship Cab ran. Many of his musicians have stories to tell of the high standards Cab demanded of his players. Again, Jonah Jones.
Everything had to be right. You better not, now if you're drinking whiskey tonight, get over it by the time you hit that bandstand on whatever theater we playing. You had to be there on time. You don't never come. I ain't never seen nobody come late, you know. Everybody just show, all of the shows we do, always be on time. He said, I tell you 9 o'clock, I mean be there at 9. 11 o'clock, day show, be that night, ready to play, sitting in your seat, not getting up there, you know.
Calloway and his orchestra from a 1945 radio broadcast with King Porter Stomp. Like many other big band leaders, Cab had to break up the band in the late 1940s. The millions he had earned faded with bad financial decisions and an out-of-control gambling habit. He was back playing small clubs with a combo when, as his luck would have it, he was offered the chance to play a part originally written for him, Sport and Life, the bad guy in George and Ira Gershwin's Porgy and Bess. Too busy to take the role in 1935, he was a huge hit with a revival company starring Leontine Price, which toured worldwide in the early 1950s.
It ain't necessarily so.
It ain't necessarily so.
The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. Little David was small, but oh my.
Little David was small, but oh my.
He fought big Goliath, who laid down and died. Little David was small, but oh my. Why do in a whale.
Oh, Jonah, he lived in a whale.
His magnetically wicked performance as drug peddler Sportin' Life opened a second career to Cab, who returned to Broadway with Pearl Bailey in Hello, Dolly. In the mid-70s, he was featured in a revival of The Pajama Game. He made a smash appearance in the Blues Brothers movie and even had a running part on Sesame Street. In between, he took whatever jobs were available, hotel lounge dates with a small combo, the occasional South American big band tour, even a season with the Globetrotters as halftime entertainer. But no matter how small the budget or what the venue was, Cab Calloway continued to employ the very best jazz musicians possible, keeping the jazz fires burning as he kept the crowds entertained with his always exciting stage shows. Gunther Schuller.
People still remember Cab Calloway mostly as a dancer and a vaudevillian with his wonderful white tuxedos and all of that, and a great showman, and do not yet appreciate enough, at least in my view, what he did for the music, very often under the guise of a Broadway showman. I mean, he was able to combine these two roles in a quite incredible way. And I don't think he's given enough credit for his achievements in jazz, in composing and the arranging and the nurturing of jazz as a creative music.
Almost right up to his death in 1994, at the age of 86, Cab Calloway kept the hidey-ho going whenever and wherever he could. A consummate performer, thrilling audiences of all ages with his matchless singing and unstoppable energy. No doubt about it, Cab Calloway's great gifts have forever enriched the history of jazz. Writer Albert Murray.
Cab Calloway belongs among the important band leaders of his generation. He had an outstanding band. He ran his band with great firm discipline. He was widely respected, and certainly the musicianship of his band was highly respected. And with all the clowning and whatnot, when he wanted to buckle down, he could sing a straight vocal with as much effectiveness as almost anybody else. He was a major figure. There's no getting around it.
Folks, I'm going down to St. James Infirmary. See my baby there? She's stretched out on a long white table. So sweet, so cold, so fair. I let her go, let her go. God bless her all. Wherever she may be, she can search this whole wide world over. She'll never find another sweet man like me.
Our tribute to Cab Calloway was written by David Osman and produced by Dan Gettleman.
Put on a bobsback coat and a Stetson hat.
Jazz Profiles is produced by Tim Owens. Assistant producer, Madeline Smith. Website coordinator, Bettina Owens. Executive producers, Mary Beth Kirshner and Murray Horwitz.
Then give me six crap-shooting ball bearers. Chorus girl, sing me a song.
Special thanks to the Institute of Jazz Studies at Rutgers University, the Cab Calloway Foundation, and the Smithsonian Institution's Jazz Oral History Program. To email us, or for more information about Jazz Profiles, this program, and a listing of future programs in the series, look for NPR's homepage on the World Wide Web at npr.org. That's npr.org. Major support for Jazz Profiles comes from the Lila Wallace Reader's Digest Fund, helping people make the arts part of their everyday lives. Additional support has been provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the Arts. I'm Nancy Wilson.
Blood!
This is NPR, National Public Radio.